I all of a sudden was having these incredible and intense and life-changing experiences that Erin would never have.
I'm MK Anderson, and this is First 100 Days. A podcast where we discuss the idea that if the first 100 days of a presidency are so important, they're likely to be important for anybody else's career and life moves. We'll talk to CEOs, first-time parents, startup bros, and more to discover if the first 100 days are really that important. Today, we're speaking with Amy Cohen, who is an occupational therapist by trade, works in senior home health, and is also a mom of three. Her stories of her three girls' shenanigans is always a pick-me-up, and I'm convinced she needs to write a book. So today, I'm excited to learn about the first 100 days as a parent to one, a parent to two, and a parent to three. So, hey, Amy, how's it going?
I'm doing great. How are you, MK?
Thank you so much again for taking the time to chat with me. I feel like it's very needed for everybody to know that we are recording this at 9 p.m. Because that's just part of life as a parent, I feel like, right? I'm 25, so I don't actually know, but feel free to inform.
Well, I think it's important for everyone listening to know what happened in the hour and a half prior to me sitting down to record this podcast with you. The baby randomly threw up twice all over the place. So the older one's bedtime was delayed, and we have two washing machines, thankfully. So I'm on my third load of laundry from all that. And then, had to get the older kids to bed and take a quick shower to wash all the baby vomit off of me. So it's been an eventful night already. It's not over yet.
Yeah, really. Well, thank you. Even more thanks then for still agreeing to do this. For those who don't know, do you mind giving a quick little background as to family makeup, how old your kids are? Are you, I don't even know if it stops being tiresome to be a parent. I feel like people talk about teenage years as terrible. So like, is it ever not tiresome? I don't know.
So far we've always been tired, but my oldest is four. Her name is Eleanor. We call her Ellie mostly. And then my middle one, Clara, is 2.5. And our baby, Abigail, is 8 months old. And my husband is Aaron. And yeah, that's our little family.
I like that you have three girls also close in age, because that's my family as well. And so ideally, they all become pals and hang out and everything. But if it's anything like my family, it'll take like 20 years until we all like each other completely. So
I was actually thinking about that.
We all like really love each other now. So it's great. But, you know, when you're all so close in age and yet we all have three very different personalities, it obviously leads to a little bit of conflict.
You know, I was actually thinking that. I was like, oh my gosh, I have three daughters and you're the oldest of three, and you and Maureen and Noni are so close in age. And, I've watched you guys grow up, and you've all, like you said, very different. And it's kind of cool to see my potential future, you know, because my kids are all really different right now, and they get along great. Like, we're really lucky, but I know it may not always be that way, and it may wax and wane. So I'm excited for what's happening now, and I'm also excited to see what the future holds.
Yeah. Well, and this is so tangential to things that we're going to chat about, but we've been looking back on family videos. And so like, my mom has them, they used to be on VCRs and now they're on DVDs. How do people make home videos anymore? Like, do you make home videos for your kids? How does that function these days?
All the time, because we keep a video camera in our pocket, you know, like we have a Google account for our family, and so all of our pictures and videos just get uploaded right from our phone to there. And it's fun because, you know, the grandparents and other family members and friends can just log on and see it. Like, my mom will text me like, oh my gosh, that video was so cute. I mean, we film our kids almost every day, I would say.
Oh, that's so cool. I didn't even think about that you could then share it with like grandparents and stuff. And then you don't have to have a family text that's constantly giving you notifications. After that tangent, I don't really know how to jump in being like, how did you decide to be a parent? But I mean, I'm sure it goes. I don't want to be like, what was your family planning process like? But
I can you know, tell
was,
you about it.
Yeah, like was this something? You know, some people plan, some people don't. And in your case, and like, yes, disclaimer to everyone, Amy is talking about her first 100 days as a parent, not everyone's first 100 days as a parent. So, I mean, what did that process look like for you? With, you know, to the comfort level of which you are okay with sharing.
Oh, I share everything. I have zero secrets. I've always wanted to be a mom since, you know, before I could remember. There's a picture of me when I'm about 3 years old, and I'm wearing like a dress up wedding dress while changing my baby doll's diaper. And I think that kind of embodies what I've always thought, that like, you know, yeah, there may be a husband or partner of sorts in my life, and I'm very lucky to have a partner that I love dearly. But that being the mom came first. And Aaron and I were set up on a blind date by our friend. And on our second date, which was the next day, we talked about having kids together. I think we both knew right away that that was something we wanted. And we felt really fortunate to have found it together. I don't know how familiar listeners are with maternity leave laws in America. Short version is they're terrible compared to everywhere else in the world. But because I wouldn't qualify for maternity leave until a year after I had started my job, we timed trying for what became our oldest child, so that even if she was born a month early, I would still qualify for maternity leave if we got her on the first try. And we got her on the first try, and she was 2.5 weeks early, which means I got my maternity leave with a margin of 13 days to spare. So we got really lucky. And there's so many ways to start a family. I mean, there's adoptive parenting, there's foster parenting. You know, some people, their first experience as a parent might be with an older child instead of a newborn. You know, our experience was we made our biological child on purpose, and out she came and off we went.
And because yours was so planned and everything, did you then take classes or like have goals, expectations? I'm sure this was something then you thought about a lot more than maybe others didn't.
Yeah. And I think the best way to describe it is that, you know, you can talk about becoming a parent. I mean, people have talked about this for eternity. I mean, the reason we exist is because people have always had babies. But nothing prepares you for actually doing it. We read books and we talked to people, and I talked to my own mom a lot. Our classes, we did take classes, but they were more about labor and birth, not as much about caring for the baby. And I think the biggest benefit of those for me wasn't so much that I learned, but that it made me feel like I was prepared and that I was doing everything I was supposed to. Because I think if I hadn't taken them and something had gone wrong, I would have been kicking myself like, oh, I should have taken those classes, is what they're for. And I didn't do the right thing.
So then when it did come time to actually have a kid, like physically, you've been pregnant, you have 9 months of, you know, preparation mentally.
Oh, I have 27 months.
Oh yeah, that's true. That's true. But like when it did finally, you know, like here's a child, what did that look like? I feel like I see some people that I know and I'm like, yeah, they give you a kid. At least this is my biggest projection. I'm projecting my fear right now, essentially, is that all of a sudden I have a kid in my arms and it's like, all right, go home. And you're like, what? Who gave me this responsibility? So is that a familiar feeling? Or am I just 25 and definitely not ready to have a kid yet?
No, you are. It has nothing to do with your age or your readiness or lack thereof to have a kid. I mean, that was definitely our experience. Like they hand you this baby. And with my second and my third, I definitely felt this connection right away of like, oh my gosh, this is my kid. This is my baby. And I don't know if it's because I had been through it before. I'm pretty open about this, but I struggled a lot with postpartum depression and anxiety after my first one. And I think it stemmed right from the moment she came out that they put her on my chest. And I knew it was my child, but I didn't really associate it with being mine. But like, at least at our experience in the hospital, you know, and not everyone gives birth in a hospital, and hospital experiences are different, but they did almost everything for us. You know, they changed the diaper. I will always be grateful to the nurse who taught me how to breastfeed. You know, they teach you everything you need to know in the hospital. And I remember walking in our condo with Eleanor, and she was in her car seat, and we put her down, and Aaron and I looked at each other and just said, now what? Like, we didn't know what we were supposed to do, and she didn't need anything at that exact moment. And we felt like it was supposed to be this monumentous event, but really we just walked in the door with this 6-pound tiny person, and, you know, we had no idea what was in store.
So then how did you go about that first day? I mean, I hear it's a lot of not sleeping, and did you all of a sudden Google everything, or did you call your mom? I feel like I would have called my mom. I don't know.
Well, I didn't have to call her because she was over at our house like every day.
That's nice.
I mean, I only called her to say, please come over. I'm so fortunate to live, you know, geographically close to my parents and to be relationship-wise close enough to them and be trustworthy enough of their parenting skills. You know, I will forever be indebted to my parents, especially my mom, for helping me with all of my kids, but especially right at the beginning. I don't really remember the first day, but I do remember that it was about 2 a.m. the first night she came home. And I had just nursed her and she went back to sleep, and I had her in her little, you know, cradle rocking thing. And I was starving. I was so hungry and I was kind of awake. So I made stir fry at 2 a.m. and just ate it while looking at this new baby that I was now responsible for. I remember that.
And do you feel like, I feel like a lot of people might think that sounds like, oh, cool. Like she kind of went to her normal routines. And I mean, you're making stir fry, not, you know, like macaroni that's microwaved, right? Did it feel like you could go back into your routines, or do you feel like your world was actually so shifted, completely changed?
Oh, definitely the latter. One of my dearest friends just had her first baby. She's 7 weeks old now, and I think she's done, pardon me, a phenomenal job at getting kind of back into her pre-mom life. And I think that was something really hard for me is you know, overnight who you are changes and who you're responsible to changes. And furthermore, like the rest of life's duties don't go away. You know, I mean, little things like, you know, laundry still needs to be done and the dishes still need to be done. And you still have to figure out where dinner is coming from. But then bigger things too, like it changes how you interact at work because, you know, you're at work, but daycare or the nanny calls that your kid's sick. And like, you know, you have to give up that responsibility to go be with your kid. Not that I'm like, you know, oh shucks, I can't be at work, but it does kind of change the dynamic of things. And it's, you know, I feel like now that we've got 4 years of parenting under our belt with 3 kids, we've kind of settled into our new normal. Like now Aaron and I definitely have kind of our families and our households routine down, and, you know, we don't need to talk about, you know, who's cleaning the dishes or who's doing the laundry or what household tasks need to be done because we're kind of on autopilot with that. But at the beginning, it was a lot of figuring things out. And sometimes those things can be awkward to communicate about if you've never done that before and you've only had to worry about yourself or yourself and a partner.
That's definitely something that I have heard from my pals, that just the dynamics of your inner relationship with your partner is shifted. Was that something that you guys ended up chatting about beforehand, or was it something that you guys had to figure out as you went along?
It's definitely something we talked about. And I think the stressor with our oldest really came from the fact that because I was struggling so much psychologically and emotionally, you know, I remember when I knew I needed to seek help, it was because Aaron looked at me and he said, you are past the point where I can help you. Like, I love you and I support you, but I can't help you with this the way that you need. And that was really eye-opening for me. And I think it's also, you know, in mine and Aaron's situation where we had a relationship as adults prior to becoming parents, you know, we shared everything and we more or less could have similar experiences. And after being pregnant and giving birth to our child and breastfeeding her and kind of all the things that come with being a default birth mom, I all of a sudden was having these incredible and intense and life-changing experiences that Aaron would never have. You know, I knew that. And so that's always just been a weird thing. Like, I feel to some degree like I'm on a different plane from him because he's never going to know what it's like to be pregnant or to give birth, even though he's so supportive. And I think one of the other big stressors is that we just missed each other, you know, like I was sleeping every chance I could. Babies do sleep a lot, but they don't sleep for very long at a time. And I think that's the biggest part of the sleep deprivation is that, you know, there would be some days where I slept for 10 hours a day, but they were in like 2 hour or 45 minute spurts. And that just really messes with you. But we feel like with each kid, it's taken us about 6 months to develop the new normal into where we can like spend time together. Like now, you know, we'll be able to spend time just talking to each other at the end of the day, or we're more comfortable saying to the kids, like, you know, go play for a second, like daddy's going to tell mommy this story, or mommy and daddy have to, you know, work on the taxes or whatever it is.
Yes, financial security early. Yes.
You know, I mean, all those things still have to be done. And we're definitely better at it now, but it's taken a lot of practice. I think that was the biggest feeling about our relationship the first 100 days was that we missed each other because we did a lot of divide and conquer just to keep our heads above water.
That's fair. I mean, I can't. Yeah, just having the responsibility of another person in general puts a lot of stress on things. Even, I mean, if we think about even our work responsibilities, right? Like there are some times where you think, oh my God, I'm responsible for X, Y, and Z. If you're in finance, it's like millions of dollars. If you're in weddings, you're in charge of someone's like really big day. And so all of a sudden you have like a child and like you can't deny that that's just going to shake things up a little bit.
A little bit.
But you mentioned, yeah, I mean, yeah, a lot of bit, a good like 25 years a bit. But I mean, you said that it takes you guys 6 months to get into a new routine, but you then ended up having, I mean, you said your oldest is 4 and it's been, wait, you've parented for 4 years with 3 children, right? Whatever the math is, it's really close in time. And so then what did that look like when you were going from 1 child to 2 children? How did that 6 month thing and even, sorry, this is a really long question, so we can split this up twice, but, you know, when you talked about having a really hard time after your first child, did that deter you from wanting to have a second child? Because I feel like that's also something I would be nervous about, too.
Yeah, I mean, that was definitely something that we talked about, and our oldest was about 6 weeks old, and Aaron looked at me. We had, you know, before we started having kids, we talked about wanting to have several kids. I'm one of 3, and Aaron's an only child. And, you know, our kids having siblings was really important to us. And at one point, he looked at me, and he said, you know, if she's our only one, that's okay. Because he knew how much I was struggling. And I think that's one of the most romantic things he's ever said to me, that, you know, he'd be so, so willing and so gracious at giving up our dreams of a larger family because, you know, I couldn't handle it, which was something that none of us had anticipated. You know, I think kind of what it looked like with having our kids so close in age, we're really fortunate. We did plan it that way. We actually, you know, unfortunately had a miscarriage in between our second and third, which is so common. I mean, everyone we've talked to about it, either it's happened to them or someone close to them. But yeah, my oldest two are 20 months apart. And then my second and my third are 2 years and 10 days apart. And I mean, it's definitely really, it's hard. I've had rough pregnancies. And some women love their pregnancies. I didn't. I love the outcome of it, but I didn't love being pregnant. And it's really hard to be pregnant with a toddler and then with 2 toddlers. And I think in terms of adjusting to more kids, for me, it got easier each time because I felt more and more confident with what to do with a baby. I mean, newborns are kind of all the same in terms of the care they need. And, you know, my kids don't really have a lot of, you know, what we call special needs. I mean, obviously if there's a family with a child who they know has higher needs, like I have a really good friend with a child who was born with a heart defect. And so her introduction to parenthood has been totally different than mine. But you know, we didn't deal with anything like that. So for me, it just got easier each time because my babies were more or less the same. And for Aaron, it got harder each time because, you know, I'd be off nursing the baby or trying to sleep or trying to recover. You know, like I mentioned, making stir fry at 2 in the morning after my first one, like I couldn't even stand after my third one. She was a rough case coming out, but, you know, so Aaron would be pretty much responsible for the older children or child and all the household stuff while I was just recovering and taking care of the newborn. And so it was definitely harder for him with each kid we added.
Dang. just dang. That's all I got. I have no good responses. It just because it feels so foreign. And at the same time, I think I read something that pregnancy or having children is the most common like health risk people take all the time. Like we forget that. And not even on top of it being a health risk, just like a life change, right? Like I mentioned that earlier. And I think a lot of us think of it as just like, oh, the next step in life. And we forget how life altering it can be. But also you mentioned how much, and I don't want this to just be like a Debbie Downer episode. You mentioned that you love the outcome of it. And I mentioned earlier, you have so many funny stories. And so, you know, what do you think were some of the best surprising moments of becoming a parent that you were just like, nobody prepared me for this whatsoever?
Oh, definitely when your kids develop their own interests and exert themselves and make choices, you know, like all those things that we do on a daily basis. But because they start off as, you know, a newborn who like doesn't really do much, like newborns are boring, you know, they really are. At least that's my opinion. I've never really liked the newborn stage. I mean, I love all of my children dearly, and I feel so privileged to have raised them from the time they were newborns. But, you know, I said to Aaron that if we ever have more children, which I don't think we will, but, you know, I want to start them when they're like 6 months old. Like, don't give me another newborn. But like my oldest one is really, she's really into medical knowledge and surgery. Like she'll take my phone and she wants me to pull up pictures of open heart surgery, and she asked the names of different organs, and she asked for a real set of surgery tools the other day. And I'm like, you know, no, that's not really an appropriate toy.
Right. You're like, even adults shouldn't have these sometimes.
Right. Like, it's definitely not giving you a scalpel. But I mean, watching her develop that interest and just wanting to take that and run with it, it's like, yeah, like, you know, whatever you want, I'm going to support you in that. You know, and even like really young babies, when you give them two toys and they make a selection between one of them, or they shake it. I think one of the coolest things is watching babies discover their hands. Like they'll hold them up in the air and they'll twist them and open and close their fingers, and they'll touch one hand with the other hand. And, I mean, think of all the things that your hands have done in life, and all the things that they will do, and all that they allow us to accomplish. And you know, I'm an occupational therapist. Like I certainly don't mean any offense to people who don't have hands. They, you know, but like, I mean, that's the incredible thing, is watching your child just discover the world and getting to do that along with them is incredible.
And did you have any goals for how you thought this would work? And if you did you meet any of them, or did you just throw them out the window the moment you saw things shift?
Oh gosh, I think in terms of goals for parenting, it's been, pardon me, much more short term. You know, like our goal is to get our middle one now to stop calling for us 100 times a night, and we tried a new strategy tonight, and knock on wood, so far it's worked. I'm probably jinxing it.
We, you know, but hear, I think her, like, screaming your name in the distance on the podcast.
Mommy, right? but I think kind of big picture is every parent's goal. You know, you want your kid to be happy. You want them to have meaningful relationships in life. But I think something that I've realized about being a parent is that, you know, we only know our own experiences. Like, you know, I only know what it's like to be a friend from my perspective with my friendships, you know, things like that. And my children are their own people, you know, and they're having their own experiences that I'm not privy to. You know, like I've talked to some of my friends about this, that when they're newborns, their problems are so easy. You know, they're hungry, so you feed them. They're tired, so you put them down for a nap. But like what happens the first time, you know, my kid comes home from high school and she says, you know, someone was mean to me, or I was in the car with someone and they didn't wear their seatbelt. Like Eleanor came home from school a couple weeks ago telling me, and she was sad because a friend didn't want to play with her. And, you know, so we talked about why the friend might feel that way and what she could do. And I was like, oh my gosh, okay, time to put on my big girl pants. Like, here we go, you know, parenting moment right here. But it's, you know, it's, you're learning along with them.
I had a friend say that he was a really young parent, and, I was just in awe at how he like took on that responsibility and with his parents and, you know, and just like a lot of input from a lot of other people. And he said that actually becoming a parent was probably one of the more liberating feelings he had ever felt, because like no one gets to tell me how this works. And at the same time, like, I don't even know how it works. So we're just like working as we go. We're just trying to figure it out. And do you think that's been a similar experience that you've had? Like, do you I don't know. I don't know how to explain it, because obviously I'm not him. But he said it was just so like empowering and liberating, because he realized, well, I've taken on this responsibility now, and no one can really, I mean, people can tell you what to do, but at the end of the day, like, they're not going to be the ones enacting anything that they, you know, say to your kids.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely feel very similar to your friend, except the words that I would use would be, you know, terrifying. I didn't really feel at the liberating and empowering, but you know, I mean, I remember as a kid, and I'm sure many listeners do too, kind of want, like, you know, who's the adult in charge? Okay, the adult in charge is going to fix whatever problem I have. And now that I'm the adult in charge, sometimes I'm like, you know, I have no idea what I'm doing. Like, when are my kids going to call my bluff and realize that we're all just kind of flying by the seat of our pants here? You know, like in our case, we had 9 months to figure out kind of our game plan for parenting, but it's, You take it one step at a time. And yeah, it's, you know, and you, like what your friend was saying about, you know, that he can make those choices about how he's being a parent. You think of any other circumstance in which people work with children, right? Like, you know, a pediatrician or a preschool teacher or an AYSO soccer coach. Like, if you're working with children, you have to go through rigorous training and certification, and there's protocols and all these things surrounding it. But if you're, you know, if you're making a child biologically, like, all it takes is one sperm and you get to be responsible for a child, and, you know, you don't take a test. And, you know, it's crazy to me that I'm raising a child and no one's supervising me.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. But with that feeling, do you feel like it's been empowering in a way? Or do you think that every day you're constantly, I don't want to say like, are you scared every day? But is that something that you still fear? Like, if, you know, I don't know. I'm, like I said, I'm still 25. And sometimes I'm like, I just want my mom, right? So there's bound to be that feeling as like, all of a sudden, now you're caring for another person.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely still think that every day. I want my mom. I need my mom right now. And I'm very fortunate to still have my mom and to have her in so many capacities of my life. I'm always scared. I'm always scared that, you know, something bad's going to happen to them, or, you know, and I know they're going to have problems that I won't be able to fix, or that maybe I can fix them, but I have to let them figure it out themselves, because they're not going to learn. You know, like sometimes when they are trying to get their shoes on to get out the door, you know, we're running late and everyone's stressed out, but they're taking so much pride in putting their shoes on, and like, you know, they have to learn how to put on their shoes. And I have to take this opportunity in the real setting of putting on your shoes to get them to learn it.
Do you think that there's anything that you wish you had known before parenting that seems like across the board something? Like, not, you know, there's always going to be those cases that are particular to you and your kids and your situation. But do you think there was ever anything that you just wish would have prepared you for, or someone should have mentioned it and it would have helped so much more than had you just been thrown right into it?
You know, it's hard to tell, mostly because I don't remember what I knew beforehand and what I've learned in the past 4 years. It's all kind of run together. But I think, you know, I think what I said at the beginning, that, you know, you could read every parenting book. You could talk to every parent that's existed, and it's not the same as being a parent yourself. You know, so it's great. It's great to have that knowledge. But the best parenting advice I ever read, I don't even remember where I read it. But I tell it to all of my friends who are having babies. It's, no one ever wishes they held their baby less. And I think about that all the time when I'm holding one of my kids and I'm like, oh God, I have so many other things to do, and we're running late on this. And then I remember that, you know, whatever, the dishes are going to be dirty and they're going to be dirty, and the playroom's going to be a mess and the toys are going to be everywhere, but that doesn't matter, because I can always clean up that puzzle tomorrow. But my baby's going to be a little bit bigger tomorrow. If I want to hold her when she's small, it's right now.
Aww. Now I'm just like, oh, I want a baby. Not actually. Willem, I hope you're listening. I'm good. I'm good right now. Yes. Like I said this before, but it's this, like, being a parent and going through the medical procedures for all of it. My friends recently reminded me that a C-section is not just like, oh, a C-section, you know?
Oh, it's major surgery.
Oh my God. Yeah. I just kind of found out about that. And I think that's, you know, a great thing for Western medicine, right? Like that we've almost normalized it in a way. Like, oh, she had a C-section. I mean, anyone who knows is like, MK, you idiot. You should remember that this is a big surgery. I do now. Thank you, everybody. But at the same time, like, that I think it's nice in a way that I thought of it as like, cool, like just another way to have children. But yes, it is a major surgery, and it does a lot to you. And at the same time, it's something we like willingly take on. And I just think that's astounding, especially when there are people who mention like miscarriages or having postpartum depression, and like it could be very daunting and people not wanting to go through with it. But while we're kind of towards the end of this conversation, do you think that there's anything that you wish people talked more about when it came to parenting, or wish that I had asked this earlier, wish that you had known, but like maybe even anything that you found out that you want to pass on to people as they're embarking on becoming a first-time parent?
Oh, just be kind. Just be so kind to new parents and even to seasoned parents of new children, because we're all just doing our best and everyone's sleep deprived. You know, I'm American. I've grown up in Chicago. I still live in the area. And you know, thinking about other places around the world, you know, like I think it's Finland where they send the babies home in a box with onesies and diapers and all these baby supplies, and the box serves as their first crib. You know, and then you think of more rural based communities around the world where a birthing mother is so much more celebrated and supported and tended to than they are in America. And at least in my experience, it's been a lot of like, you know, ask for help if you need it, but like, this is your job. Like, you wanted to have this baby, you know, you got to figure it out on your own. You know, and I always, one of the nicest things anyone ever said to me in public when I was pregnant, and usually I hated people talking to me, but Aaron and I were at a coffee shop. I was about 8 months pregnant, and a woman, you know, maybe middle-aged, leaned over and she said, just acknowledging this is the most uncomfortable part of pregnancy, hang in there. And that was it, you know, and I was so touched by that. I was like, you know, amen, sisterhood, like right there. And, you know, anytime we're out in public and I see a family with a new baby, I always say, you know, like, you look so happy to be a parent, or, you know, you're doing a great job, or I know it's so hard, but like, you got out of the house, you put on pants, like, look at you, you even have makeup on, you know, I know what it takes to do that. I think just giving new parents a break and bring them food and help them feel a sense of community, because it is, you're right, it's a life-changing thing. And you know, like, let's support each other. Don't make this event any more isolating than it has to be.
Thank you so much. Is there anything you'd like to plug, or anything that you hope people could? You're not on LinkedIn, so I don't really know where the people would find you. You should plug your future book right now. I want it. And I feel bad for everyone listening, because we did a lot of like, you know, legitimate talking about parenthood and not like the silly things. But you're such a funny writer. So I feel like that should just be something you have.
I mean, yeah, people have told me I should write a book about my kids' funny antics. I mean, yeah, I think every parent has that. I will give a plug for talking about perinatal mental health, that it's so common for women and or their partners to suffer from depression or anxiety while they're pregnant or surrounding birth, or, you know, when you have a new baby. And it's not something people talk about, and people expect you to think everything's good. Like, you know, Eleanor would be 2 months old and people would be like, oh my gosh, how's it going? And I'd be honest, I would say, it sucks. It's terrible. I hate this. And people would be taken aback, because that's not the answer they expected. That's not what the social script is. But I kind of feel it's my duty to break down that barrier. You know, if that is something you're struggling with, or it's something you're concerned about struggling with, you know, I strongly encourage you to seek help. There are so many resources out there. And it's, you know, no one should have to struggle alone.
Well, that's a very good plug. I definitely have a couple friends who Thanks for listening to this episode of First 100 Days. Original music by Dan Chmielinski, and feel free to tell your friends. Bye, y'all.